I'm Francine, bringing you more reviews, recaps, and rants on all your favorite K-dramas. This is Drama Buds, an anime podcast. So hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of Drama Buds. You saw that title, you know where this episode is gonna go. So brace yourself for that energy. That's the energy we're having today. So yes, today I'm gonna be talking about Queen of Tears, the highest rated drama in TV and history, beating out, you know, Crash Landing on You by the same writer. Whoa, amazing! The most buzzworthy drama of the past how many months? Probably the past year or something. And also a drama I've been anticipating since November 22, 2022. I have the exact date that they announced this casting news, okay? I came into this drama wanting to love it, okay? I needed it to change my life. And all it did was consume 24 hours of my life until I started watching it in 1.5 times speed. So if you know, you know, when I start using the 1.5 times speed setting and skipping scenes, it's that bad. So anyway, background details first before we get into it. Queen of Tears has the same PD as Little Women and Vincenzo. Two dramas that I also did not like, but I found them stunning, and it's really because of this director, Kim Hee-won, who I admire. And also the co-director is also the PD of Bulgasal, which I saw or I heard was also stunning. And this is written by Park Chi-eun, the same writer as Crash Landing on You, Legend of the Blue Sea, My Love from the Star, like Hallyu classics, right? So many people got into K-dramas because of her works. Personally, my first K-drama was My Love from the Star. And I got into my full K-drama phase because of Crash Landing on You. So, you know, I have a little fondness for this writer. All of that is gone now. More on that later. And Queen of Tears stars Kim Soo-yeon, who I've watched in It's Okay to Not Be Okay, One Ordinary Day, My Love from the Star, way, 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 way back then. And my girl. My girl Kim Ji-won, who I have loved since Arthel Chronicles. And of course, My Liberation Notes, Fight for My Way, Love Struck in the City, What's Up, a 2011 musical drama, if anyone's interested. And no, I have not and will never watch Descendants of the Sun and the Heirs, no matter how iconic she is in those roles. I will never watch those dramas. But that's my girl. I came here for her and I left it only loving her in this entire drama. So Queen of Tears is about the miraculous, thrilling, and humorous love story of a married couple who managed to survive a crisis and stay together against all odds. And now, let's get into why I did not end up liking the only drama I've been anticipating for 2024. As always, let's start with the plot and characters. First, we have Baekhyun Woo, played by Kim Soo-yeon. So he's the youngest son from a relatively well-off family living in the countryside, but he studied in Seoul. He got into Seoul National University and he studied law and became the top student and ended up working for the Queen's Group, a big chaebol family conglomerate. And there he met Hong Hae-in, supposedly just an intern, but you know, they fell in love and he found out that she was actually part of the Hong family, you know, the owner of the Queen's Group. And so he ended their relationship, but you know, in typical chaebol fashion, she chased after him and promised him that, you know, she would never make him cry if they got married. And so they did, and he ended up rising in the ranks and becoming the, I don't know, the head of the legal department in the Queen's Group or something. But actually, he's just their legal errand boy who fixes things for the chaebol family now because he's part of the family. And over the years, you know, he and Hong Hae-in started out super in love with each other. They married out of love, but they grew apart because of how her family treated him, how she treated him very coldly in his eyes, and also some tragic things that they experienced as a couple, but they didn't heal from together. And so eventually he decided after 3 years that he wanted a divorce. But that very night, that's when she announced that she had a brain tumor and she had only 3 months left to live. And so he tries to take care of her, he pretends he cares about her, but slowly realizes that he is still in love with her. He's always been. and that he wants to continue, you know, loving her and taking care of her as he did before. But when she finds out that he wanted a divorce, their marriage falls apart anyway. And that's basically one half of the show. The semi-decent half of the show. Okay, moving on to Hong Hae-in, played by Kim Ji-won. So she is the granddaughter of the chairman of the Queen's Group, and she's the head of the Queen's Mall, the department store anyway. And her goal is to become part of the Trillion Club or something, a Trillion Won in sales. And she's a, you know, typical perfect chaebol child. Intelligent, cold, competent, harsh to employees, only cares about business. And she just knows her place in the family is to follow orders. And she has no friends and nothing. That's it. That's her whole life. But the one thing that she chose for herself was her husband, was Baekhyun-woo, who she genuinely loved. But as we all know, they kind of grew estranged over the years. And then she finds out she has a brain tumor. She only has 3 months left to live. And with that comes, you know, these scary instances where she loses consciousness or she doesn't realize what she's doing. And she finds herself in random places. She finds herself injured. She's slowly losing her memories. She's slowly losing control of herself. And her life is basically falling apart. But of course, she thinks, no, this is me we're talking about. You say it's an incurable disease. Well, it's incurable so far. You haven't met me yet. But then, of course, life teaches her that, no, she's not any special. And that her brain tumor will continue to affect her. And then she finds out that her husband wants a divorce. The only person who she could count on to be on her side actually secretly hated her and wanted to leave her. And of course, she can't tell her family about her illness because she doesn't expect them to be empathetic. She doesn't expect them to be compassionate. Her mother has hated her since she was a child because she thinks it was Hae-in's fault that their eldest son or Hae-in's older brother died. And of course, someone's trying to take over their company and kick out their family. So even her, you know, stable worldview or her existence as part of a chaebol family, even that's threatened. So this is someone whose life is falling apart, really. And yet, you know, what really happens to her character? How does her character deal with all of that? That's a talking point for later. But spoiler alert, not much. Not much for her to do, honestly. And so, of course, you know, I've talked about her chaebol family, her grandfather, her parents, her aunt, her brother and his family. And then there's Hyunwoo's family, his parents, his siblings, the countryside people. And then we have the villains of the show trying to bring the Hong family down. And then we have, you know, their friends, the people who work in the company, Hyunwoo's lawyer friends, like just a bunch of people who I don't care about. I don't care about anyone. I barely even care about Hyunwoo and Hae-in. And that is major complaint number one I have about this show. There's just too much going on. There are too many people and they try to do something with everyone, but I don't care. The first half of the show was kind of focused on Hyunwoo and Hae-in and her terminal illness and how it is incurable. And then she finds out about the divorce and you see them slowly getting closer, slowly falling in love. But no, it just falls apart at the end. And then the second half is chaebol takeover shenanigans and about the evil guys, you know, kicking them out of their top spot in society. And then we spend more time with the countryside village and this chaebol family interacting with them and forming love lines or whatever. There's just so much going on with so many characters that aren't very interesting, endearing, lovable. Like there is no reason to pay attention to these people. There is no reason for this show to have an hour and a half every episode. But no. The focus of the drama at some point shifted from this couple and, you know, the miracles that their relationship experiences to, yeah, all these side characters and this whole corporate takeover thing that, at best, I can say, you know, it brings Hyunwoo and Hae-in's families together, right? At best, that's the best way I could describe the purpose of that. It's just for something to happen. But do I care about the things that happened? No, I don't. For now, I will refrain from making any comparisons to other Park Ji-un works, especially Crash Landing on You, which I'm sure many people have compared it to that already. I'll do that later. But yeah, I think the problem is that these side characters and all the side plots that, yeah, consumed maybe 60% of the drama towards the end, they're just thoroughly uninteresting. They're unentertaining. I think they're meant to be funny, but I should care a little bit to find people funny. And I just do not. The only group of side characters that were maybe a little compelling were Gonu, Hen's younger brother, and his family. And yeah, how he was deceived by his wife this whole time and took his child from him. That was kind of interesting. I felt like he experienced a lot of good sides to his character that we wouldn't have seen from him. But every other member of their families, uninteresting. I'm sorry, it all just boils down to the fact that I never cared about these side characters. From the beginning, I wanted the show to be about Hye-in and Hyun-woo and, you know, her illness and their relationship and the supposedly miraculous way that their relationship survives everything. Which kind of did at the end. But yeah, let's talk about Hye-in and Hyun-woo. Mostly Hye-in, because this narrative did not give her the love that she deserved. So this is a safe space for Hye-in lovers, okay? Although I have to say, I'm not one of those viewers that early on in the show decided, I hate Hyun-woo, he's a terrible, terrible person, he has no excuse to be like this, yada yada, you know. I was trying to be understanding to like why he resented her so much, why he felt so abandoned in the relationship and wanted her to die. Yeah, I'm like, okay, not a great thing, and he was lying to her this whole time about, yeah, still caring about her and not telling her that he wanted a divorce. But like, he was trying to also, in a way, comfort her in her possible dying days. I don't fully believe that he was being kind to her or caring for her just to get the inheritance. I feel like that was an idea implanted by his friend. And if you look at his actions, I guess, or I don't know, I guess the way Kim Soo-yoon was trying to act it out, that he wasn't fully convinced that every time his friend talked about getting the inheritance or, yeah, changing the will so that he could get money from her, you know, he always had this air of, oh yeah, I'm doing that for this reason. Yeah, right. You know, that's how I read his intentions, or that's how I read his character. So I didn't hate him, right? I don't hate Hyun-woo. A lot of people were making it into like a Hyun-woo versus Hye-in show, and I'm like, guys, why? You know this show is gonna bring them together and then you're gonna get mad about it. Like, set your expectations. This is a romance, you know? So that's why I was not on the Hyun-woo hate train. But I'm definitely on the Hye-in love train. I love her. And not just because I am biased to my girl Kim Ji-won and possibly her second best performance. I'd say Arthdal as Tanya is still her best performance to me. This might be second best. Yeah, I thought she deserved a Baek-sang nomination. But maybe the competition for best actress was just so much stiffer than the best actor category, because that's the only reason I'll accept that she's not on that list and he is. Like, I'm sorry, I think Hye-in and Kim Ji-won really carried this show. I think Hye-in is the best character. She's the most interesting character. She's the most complex character. And I think she was wasted. I think everything that they gave her just made her suffer, but it wasn't even done in an interesting way. It's just to torment her for some reason. Instead of using these very tired, very old tropes to be interesting and to make her even more interesting, you know, this writer is not very good. That's our next talking point. But what a waste. What a waste of a character. I mean, Queen of Tears is a great title because all she did was suffer in this show and was really not given much. Do you understand what I mean? I feel like Hyun-woo is, of course, the hero of the show. He's the one trying to bring Yunun Song and whatever her name is down and trying to bring the Hong family back to their rightful place on top. He's the one trying to find a way to save Hye-in. He's the one who will, you know, get kidnapped and beaten up and will take a bullet for her and will save her from a car crash and everything. Like, she was made into a damsel in distress when honestly her character deserved more than that, or could have been written not in that way. I actually thought at the start of the show that they were doing a gender reversal on the tortured male lead CEO. Hong Hye-in was a gender reversal of that because, you know, yeah, she is the chaebol who tries to win her poor lover over, trying to make him into Cinderella. You know, she's the one with a family that doesn't care about her. She's the one with trauma in her past. And honestly, you know, the terminal illness, the amnesia and everything. See, I don't hate those tropes as much as I hate Childhood Connection, which was here. That's the only, like, tropey trope that I hated. But the other tropey tropes, you know, terminal illness, I think terminal illness is a good trope because it's not a trope, it's a real thing that people face, you know. Death does not, in fact, discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes. And Hein, thinking so highly of herself, believing she is, you know, the best of the best, she has always done her best and gotten the best in return, to kind of deconstruct her worldview and make her realize that she is not above everyone else. She is just as mortal as everyone else. I thought that was interesting. We barely explored that, you know? But I did like the moments when Hein started becoming more compassionate, right? To her employees and to other people suffering. I thought, like, yeah, that's a thing that happens when people are sick and when people are reminded of their mortality. Terminal illness as a trope is really a way to examine, like, what is important to someone in their life. And I guess, in a way, they were able to use terminal illness for that. So, okay, kind of successful in that way. The amnesia is a separate thing that annoys me. So, in defense of amnesia as a trope, I think they kind of glossed over this, touched on it a little bit. You know, it's kind of the idea of how much of a person is just their memories, right? How much of their worldview, their self-esteem, their self-concept, their self-image, their personality, how much of a person is just, you know, who they believe they are based on their memories? And if you erase all of that, who is this person at their core? And you're not only erasing, you know, the good things, the good memories, the loved ones, you're also erasing the trauma, the bad things that they've experienced. So who could a person be without their traumatic experience, right? Amnesia could be interesting. Amnesia could be, okay? What they did here, what they did with the amnesia here was really just stripping Hong Hae-in of her agency completely as a character. Like, she just became, yeah, a complete damsel in distress, so easily manipulated. Even having her do the operation that could possibly make her lose her memories. An operation which, by the way, in episode, I don't know, 2 or 3 was said to be impossible, right? Like, that's the condition of her brain tumors, that it was a cloud, whatever tumor, that was difficult to get the margins. It's difficult to get it out of her brain. And then suddenly, in episode, I don't know, 13, 14, they decided, I don't know, the surgery is possible. Huh? Okay, whatever. Fine, you can bend the rules of your made-up tumor, whatever. I absolutely hate the way she was coerced into getting that surgery. Because if it was solely framed as, like, she wanted to live, right? In a very, like, somber, sensitive way, that she was willing to take the risk of losing her memories because she really wanted to live and to see things through and be with her loved ones, even the possibility of not remembering everything, not even remembering them, then fine. I just feel like there should be a little bit of sensitivity and seriousness when it comes to, you know, making someone consent to losing a huge chunk of their life, of their memories. I just think that's something that should be taken seriously. And instead, after one scene where they were bawling, screaming, crying at each other, the next scene, Hyunwoo was, you know, shown trying to attract other ladies, right? And making her jealous so that she realizes that when she's gone, he's gonna find another girl. And that's what makes her decide to get a surgery that could make her lose all her memories and her personality, and things that she literally said. There was a line in the drama where she said, "My memories are who I am," something like that. Yes, yes, they got her to lose her memories because of jealousy, because of rom-com jealousy. At that point, I just checked out of the show. I was so mad. I was so mad. Because really, if they stuck to this screaming, crying, and she realized that she really loved him and she would find a way to love him anyway, even if she loses her memories, I would have been okay with that. That would have been fine with me if we stayed there. But no, they went straight to rom-com jealousy. And like, what? And yeah, after she lost her memories and someone came in and manipulated her and everything, like, just Hein lost all her agency as a character when she lost her memories. And yeah, it was just so badly, awfully done. And Hein suffered so much as a character, and she has no agency. She has no agency this entire time. She barely did anything, right? It's all, you know, Hyunwoo is the hero. Hyunwoo is the one who saved their marriage, saved their family. Yeah, it's all him. He's the hero. I hate it. I hate what they did to Hae-in. By the end of it, I was just so mad, starting from episode 13, I guess, onwards, that I just didn't even care about the ending anymore. I was just that mad. So, yeah, Hong Hae-in and Kim Ji-won lovers, I'm sorry we had to suffer through this. But yeah, for my girl, I sat through it no matter how mad I already was. You're the light to my darkness. I just realized it. Got a bunch of table cloth to shut up. So that's your when you tell me a dream. So as you could tell, the writing is the main problem of the show. It's just not good. Okay? The acting is the best part. I mean, yeah, no comments on the acting. Yeah, Kim Ji-won deserved better. That's my only comment. But yeah, that's fine. The directing, I don't blame them for how long these episodes are because it is the writing. The writer wants to put all these characters and these plot lines and whatever and not even make them good. It's all Park Ji-yoon's fault. I blame her entirely for this. And here's the thing. Park Ji-yoon has never really been that good. You know, we don't look at My Love from the Star and Legend of the Blue Sea. Crash Landing on You, kind of special, but yeah, let's lump that in here too. We don't look at these as like the epitome of good writing. This woman has never won a best screenplay in her entire life. Okay? She's not good as in quality good. She is entertaining good. It's why she is a Hallyu queen in a way. That is her legacy. She makes entertaining dramas that have such an absurd premise if you read it out loud, but at the core of it, it's just two people from very different worlds meet and fall in love, and how do they manage to stay together when, you know, the very nature of who they are or where they're from will naturally want them to separate, right? He's an alien that's been here for centuries and wants to go back to his star, and she's a celebrity. She's a famous celebrity while he's trying to maintain his anonymity. Legend of the Blue Sea, what was it? She was a mermaid and he was rich. I forgot, but yeah, she probably needs to go back to the water somehow. I forgot. I totally forgot. Crash Landing on You. North and South Korea. Need I say more? I feel like, especially with Crash Landing on You, I mean, the stakes were real. The stakes were real, and they still managed to create this very lovely, pure relationship between two people. And the village people were like nice to Seri, or eventually she found her place among them. And yeah, I remember in my K-drama class that when we studied Chloe, we discussed the fact that the protagonist of the show is not the two of them as leads. It's really just Captain Ri. Because he's the one who does everything and she sits there and is scared most of the time. But yeah, she makes friends among the village women and comes back to her Chebol lifestyle, I think. Yeah, but most of the action is on him. It's up to him to bring her home. It's up to him to protect her and yeah, for them to fall in love. And that's also a thing with Park Ji-yoon's, that's a thing with Park Ji-yoon's female leads. Like, they're not much, are they? They are quite nothing compared to what the male lead is and what he is able to do or what he has to do. But she just sits there looking pretty, being scared for her life. That's a thing. Because that's also what happened in Queen of Tears. So yeah, Park Ji-yoon does not write good female leads with much agency. Yeah, she just makes them suffer. Hae-in suffered so much at the hand of this writer. But it is what it is. And yeah, once again, Park Ji-yoon is not good. She's not famous because she's good. Her dramas are not famous because they're high quality. They're famous because they're entertaining. And they're entertaining because they're absurd, but you have these gorgeous leads who are good actors, generally. who, you know, have good chemistry and look great together, and you never know if you're ever gonna see them on the same screen ever again. And that's it. But so bloated. Queen of Tears was just so bloated with so many useless, boring characters who were annoying and unlikable in the first place. This Chebol takeover plot that was just generally boring to watch as it progressed. Like,
Did I need to know how they managed to manipulate the shareholders so that they can get a larger share in the company? I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. It's not because I didn't understand it. It's because it's just boring. It's just boring, plain and simple.
Yeah.
If the goal of this show was just to be entertaining, at the very least, that's all I needed. I just needed it to be entertaining. I just needed to be engaged for an hour and a half. And I wasn't. Because even the hook of the show, this main couple and the miraculous way that they survive, their marriage, their relationship survives, even that stopped being the focus of the show at some point. Or the focus of, you know, 60-70% of the show at some point. Until it came back to it at the end with the amnesia plot, which, as I said earlier, I hated with a passion. I just think there were too many serious topics, serious tropes or whatever that could have been handled better if she didn't do her typical, you know, rom-com melodrama mix. Baekhyun-woo as like the superhero, you know, male lead does not work the same way that Captain Ri was a superhero male lead. Hong Hae-in is not the same damsel in distress that Yoon Se-ri was. I'm sorry to, yeah, constantly compare it to Crash Landing on You, but that is her best work. And you can see the similarities. Come on, let's be real. So yeah, judging it by itself, not great. Comparing it to a better work, not great. I'm not happy. I was not happy with this experience. So that's it for me today. Hey guys, I know this review was so negative and no one is sadder than me. Actually, I wanted to like this. My faves were here. Kim Ji-won, I'm not gonna see her again for another 2 years. You know, I want to enjoy every time I see her on my screen. But that's just not what happened. You know, the only good thing that happened throughout this entire experience is that, you know, Kim Ji-won is now a household name, as she always should have been, although, you know, she can't be a low-key ninja anymore. But she will probably vanish after, you know, this whole promotional era is over. So yeah, that's sad. My girl's gonna be gone for another 2 years. Didn't even get a big sang nom for it, even though she deserved it. She was so great. And I have nothing to look forward to in 2024. I've watched 2 dramas. Like Flowers in Sand was like a 6.5. I rated Queen of Tears 5 out of 10, which was pretty generous. I don't know, for me, I guess. There's a lot coming up on Netflix, I think, based on my new and hot tab. I'm also kind of looking forward to the new An Pansok PD drama. I'll see if I'll check that out. I think I might check the Atypical Family, a Netflix series, Dare to Love Me. We'll see. I just added it to my list. Oh, Frankly Speaking with Go Kyung-pyo and Kang Hana. It's a rom-com. I'll try it. Guys, what's something to look forward to? Let's all watch a show together so that I can actually finish something. Because if I don't watch an ongoing show as it's ongoing, I will simply never have the motivation to finish it. So Queen of Tears is the only thing I've finished while it's ongoing, you know, in the past half a year or something. Oh, that's so sad. But yeah, drop your recommendations or tell me what you thought of Queen of Tears. Maybe you were looking for someone else to say they hated it. Or maybe you thought it was the greatest thing to come out from Korea in the past year or something. That's fine. I just was not entertained. And that's all I wanted from you, Park Ji-won. That's all you had to do. It is what it is. Anyway, let's all watch something together so that I can finally finish a K-drama. But yeah, that's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you soon.